The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life settles in your soul.
All right, good morning, Jefferson. We're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed here, or at least bushy-tailed. I don't know if we're too bright-eyed. Good morning, I'm Wynn Carpenter, here with Terry Raposa. How you doing, Terry?
Good, buddy. How you doing? And Jared, our producer, how you doing, Jared?
Uh-oh, cut him off guard.
I'm doing well, thank you.
He was working the buttons pretty good.
He was working, yeah. He's pushing buttons.
If he had three hands, he could have done it there. I mean, that was pretty amazing. That was pretty fast stuff, buddy.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for keeping Terry out of trouble here on the with the magic button. Well, that's all it takes.
And he started yet, buddy.
Just starting. Well, first of all, we'd want to welcome everybody here. Thank you for showing up and listening to what we have to say and calling in to share what you have to say and getting all the information out there regarding Jefferson and all the things affiliated with Jefferson. And so I want to thank, first of all, I want to thank some of our sign sponsors. And we have people that have been putting signs up out on their properties throughout Shasta County. And this is the list I have so far. Dearman Pumps out on 273. The Cannon out on 273. Valley Septic on East Side Road. Bob Hutchins on River. Stroop's Equipment on Churn Creek Road, right across from the post office.
Mm-hmm.
And Skunk's Works Motorcycle on North I-5, Design Tile out on 273, Muse Trucking on Clear Creek Road, Donna Jamian Construction on Twinview Road, and Leo Jones Propane in Bella Vista and Bernie. So that's just a small list of all the folks that are out there, and we thank each and every one of them for being willing to step up and do the right thing and show what support they have for us and for all of us, all the sovereign citizens of the Jefferson Territory. So thank you, folks. So what you got, Terry?
Well, last night we had an event.
And we did.
It was an amazing event. The Second Amendment rally that we had, it was at the Veterans Hall. We had approximately 400 people, and it was just well done. I mean, everything from the opening prayer and pledge, we had Commander Jim Gibson do the pledge and Commander, if you're out there, we just really appreciate you as a what you've done for our country and the hero you are. We're blessed to have you.
And I appreciate his beautiful wife, Mary
Lou.
Oh,
yeah, Mary Lou.
She's the glue that keeps that thing going. She's awesome.
And I've got to say that the commanders at our meeting every single week sitting in the front row.
Yep.
Great guy. Also, we had some supervisors there. We also had Congressman LaMalfa who showed up.
Yeah, he was there, and then he had to take off and go to do the parade.
He did.
Yeah, so he came as long as he could, and then, you know, he was committed to the parade, so he got to hit both things.
And I made him wear a Jefferson hat the whole time.
He enjoys wearing the Jefferson hat.
He does. But it was good seeing him there.
Yep.
The event was very good. Mark Baird was stellar. It was absolutely fantastic, the information he gave, how he explained what we are doing as far as the Second Amendment issue goes and how we're doing the temporary restraining order, what the court case meant, and also tied the bow of how this fits in with Jefferson. Of course, anything to do with liberty, whether it be the gas tax, which we showed up in force down there in our Jefferson gear, the protest against the sanctuary state, which we showed up in force down there, and also the position that we held with the Second Amendment, even a few months before that, we showed up in force down there. And the water issue, which was extremely important, we showed up in force down there. And that particular issue did reach all the way to Washington, D.C., thanks to Tom McClintock.
Right.
So, Congressman Tom McClintock. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of things, a lot of issues that we get involved in. And sometimes the question is, well, why are we involved in these other issues? Because they affect us. Anything that affects liberty...
Right.
That's Jefferson. This is liberty. This is our rights. This is our constitutional rights. So There is a tie-in, absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
It's multitasking is what we're doing.
Absolutely.
Because you're right. It's all part of the same package, all of it.
Liberty.
Liberty, yeah.
You know, absolutely. And something else about the Second Amendment, like last night was a good example of this. We got many, many, many people who basically didn't know that much about Jefferson. We did have a lot mm-hmm. of them come in.
Yeah.
But they certainly understood that their rights were being taken.
Yeah.
And to understand that that the issue that helps everything
right.
is representation. That's the silver bullet we have.
Mm-hmm.
Without representation and a republic form of government, we don't have any rights.
That's
I don't
right.
care what the issue is. Without that, we don't have any rights. And as Mark said last night, the Second Amendment didn't just start with the Second Amendment.
Right.
The colonists owned their own guns. They owned their powder. They owned their shot. They owned those things. That was their personal property.
And they were the army of the state at that time, and like we are now.
And I want to thank the militia for being there.
Yeah.
Those guys are amazing. Woody and Ralph and Dan Scovel, what a great guy he is. And Randy and his wife and, you know, and Bernie, who spoke
yep.
so well.
Yep.
And when you look at these folks, they're just folks in the community. I mean, you know, Woody owns a barbershop. He's a business owner. Bernie is a high school teacher.
Right.
You know, just great people. Dan Scovel owns a great pest control business.
Yep, yep.
He does have a license to kill.
He does have a license to kill. That's right.
License to kill bugs. But, you know, that's the thing. They're folks. That people have to understand that community watches and people in the militia are people there to help the community. As Bernie said last night, they're unpaid soldiers.
They are.
You know, and, you know, what happens if there's an accident? If one of those guys are on the scene, they're trained to understand how to react in that kind of emergency.
Not only unpaid, but they go to great expense to do the training and to get the right equipment so they can do what they need to do when they need to do it.
They do.
They're not asking for handouts. They're out there doing it themselves. It's a grassroots effort, like all successful efforts are. They're
mm-hmm.
grassroots. They know what's going on. They're educating themselves, getting educated to do the right things and to be proper and moral and ethical and law-abiding.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're doing the diamond and silk thing.
Oh, gosh. That's scary.
I love them.
That's scary.
They're awesome, though. They are awesome. I guess they got a movie coming out, huh?
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Anyway, what we're going to do here is we will go off to our first break.
Okay, but before we go there, because we talked about the Second Amendment here last night.
Oh, yes, that's right.
The event last night. There's going to be another event coming up here pretty soon, and it's going to be happening on January 12th. I know it's a little over a month away, but need to think about it. It's up in Yreka, January 12th, and it's at the Miners Inn Convention Center. And dinner, the doors open at 5, and dinner begins at 6, and it's a similar type thing. It's a fundraiser for Second Amendment rights and open carry law in California. So if you want to keep your Second Amendment, and if you want to be able to exercise that right, not the privilege of being a permitted gun owner, but the right of Second Amendment, you need to go up there. And so it'll be a good event. January 12th, and the doors open at 5, and they're going to have all kinds of stuff going on. They're going to have, it's a primary dinner. You can get a table for 8 for $400 if you want to do that. Those are pre-sale only as far as the tables for 8. That way they can make sure they get everything accounted for. And I can give you the numbers, 227-6729 or 227-6728. To contact the folks to get that taken care of, and you can get hooked up with them to buy the tickets for the event.
And I want to thank Jennifer Mita with all the great work she does.
She's awesome.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's stellar. She does a lot of print work for us, and she does a great job.
And the name of her company is Go to Print. Go to Print. And just a great lady, a lot of fun.
And she goes the extra mile. She hand delivers things when needed and necessary because of the crunch time sometimes, and she's really good about doing that. And she was at our event last night, handing out flyers and doing
she's
all that
great.
Stuff.
She's great.
Good lady.
She is. So with that, we'll go off to our first break.
Okay.
And then I believe we have people on the line, and we'll get to them right after the break. So time has come, my good friend.
For 51.
Better think it through before it's too late. Listen close to what I say. Don't try and take my guns away. You're in the land of the free. This is the home of the brave. And I ain't gonna be your slave. So don't try and take my gun.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Hi, this is Rob Burrows from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, inviting you to join us for our Christmas holiday effort. We'll be providing holiday meals for our military families in need here in Northern California. You can help by dropping off non-perishable food items and gift cards at 2110 North Street, the museum office, or make a donation of a prepackaged bag of groceries for our military families through Homeward Bound. We also encourage you to donate a toy to be distributed through Homeward Bound. We are also collecting non-perishable items to ship to troops overseas who are deployed this holiday season. So many ways we can help those who serve for us. For more information, call 378-2280. That's 378-2280, the office of the Northern California Veterans Museum. And Merry Christmas from all of us at the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
The crime rate's through the roof. Gun control is on the rise. We make our ends meet, take what we need to survive. A shot, one kill is such a thrill. That's the way that I was raised. When I pick up a gun, I hit right where I aim. It's time to take the stand. It's time to draw the line. You better bring yours when you come to take mine.
Wow. Boy, does that segue into where we're going here. We have two people on the line. We have Nick first, and then we'll bring Kemosabe on. Nick, what you got, buddy?
Good morning,
hey,
Nick.
Hey, I'm so glad Kemosabe's coming on next. You know, I was there last night. It was a wonderful event. And the prime rib dinner and the fundraiser up there at Yreka. I'm not too enthusiastic about driving all the way up there since I lost my wife. These things aren't as fun as they used to be.
Right.
But I do want to donate, and what I was thinking is tomorrow night at the meeting I would give you a $50 bill, and Mark Byard could find somebody up in that area to go in my stead.
Oh, you're awesome.
You're awesome.
You know, and I'd like to challenge seven more people that feel the same way, and we could buy a table.
That's a great idea. I'm sure Mark is listening to this, and he appreciates it.
And you know, he could pick whoever he wants. Maybe there's some people on the fence that need a little push and to see what our meetings are all about, or maybe there's some people that can't afford to go that have served our country and deserve to go. So I'll see you tomorrow night with a $50 bill.
All right, Nick. Awesome.
You're
awesome. Thank
you, my
buddy.
Friend. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
See? Thinking outside of the box.
He is. Hey, Mark, did you hear what Nick had to say?
I know who he is.
Mark,
did you hear?
Yeah.
Is your radio on, buddy?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. Thought I heard some feedback. Did you get a chance to hear what Nick had to say?
Anyway, yeah, I did hear, and thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. That's fantastic. And And I was thrilled last night. I mean, it was the room was absolutely filled with liberty-loving gun owners who want to see their God-given right, not their constitutional right, their God-given right restored to them because it was illegally taken from them in 1967 and again in 2012 and 2013. And I was just thrilled. I couldn't have been happier with that room full of people.
Good. It was a good crowd.
And I've got to say that the message that you delivered and Patrick delivered and Woody and Bernie from the militia delivered was amazing. It was very, very good, very informative. And, you know, a lot of people wonder how the Second Amendment issue ties into Jefferson. I mean, I don't even know why I'm asking that question because it's rather obvious. I mean, it's our liberties, it's our rights, our God-given rights. Of course it ties in. So anyway, I'd like you to just elaborate briefly on that, and then we'll go to Dick, our other caller, once you elaborate on that. Kind of tying this thing in a nice little bow for us. Can you do that, my friend?
Well, you know, when I look at the Second Amendment, and when Cindy and I were sitting around one day, and, you know, I discovered a couple of ongoing cases that gave us the idea that there was a narrow window of opportunity to step in and restore our God-given, constitutionally guaranteed right to defend ourselves, our families, and our communities. I have to say, I'm so passionate about this. This, in my heart, had nothing to do with the formation of the state of Jefferson or our court case or any of those things. This is something that I'm passionate about. I'm going to do. People who see the wisdom in it, please help because it's expensive and we're not rich people. People who don't see the wisdom in it, get out of the way so that others can step up and restore liberty. But it does fit into the state of Jefferson in one really important way. The state of Jefferson represents individual liberty through personal responsibility and taking action to ensure that a tyrannical government is never able to strip the God-given guarantees away from the minority, the majority, or anybody else for that matter. In other words, the government of the state of California is trying to replace God in our lives. God has given us certain rights. God has guaranteed those rights by placing those things in our hearts. They are the absolute rights. They're the natural rights. They're the rights that government has no influence over and no say over, none. Never, ever, no matter who the majority is and no matter what the mob thinks, we have those rights given us by our Creator. And what Jefferson represents to me in my heart is a state with true constitutional republic where the God-given rights of the minority will never, ever be in danger by a mob or by the majority or by a tyrannical government because those rights are above government's head. Those rights are in God's realm, not government's realm, and that will never change in my heart, never, ever, as long as I have one breath in my body, and not even then.
Amen. Good job. We have Dick on the other line. Dick, what you got, buddy?
Good morning, Dick.
Hello.
How you doing, Mr. Wilkinson?
Good. Is that Wynn?
Yes, it is.
Yes, Wynn and Terry.
Wynn and Terry and Mark, what you got?
Hey, you know, I didn't attend the Second Amendment meeting yesterday because December 1st, you know, I turned my lights on. I live on, you know where I live, with a big red barn on Barrow Court.
Yep.
3187 Barrow Court, just off of East Bonneville and South Bonneville. And we're out there. This is the ninth year that we're helping the Salvation Army out there with Red Kettle. Last year we raised over $24,000. And last night, your wife and daughter, what's her name, Caitlin?
Yes.
And they dropped by, and she wondered if she could help, and I was out there by myself. And about 15 minutes later, she come back again and wanted to know what, how late I was going to be. I said, maybe 9 o'clock, wanted to know if she'd get out and help me. So she did. And you know what? She's a natural-born leader. It wasn't long. She was in charge of the whole operation out there.
Well, she was bossing you around?
What?
Was she bossing you around?
she's actually, she was pretty good. She stepped right in and was out there greeting the traffic and passing out candy canes and collecting money.
All right, good.
Anyway, she wanted to know if she could come back again. I said, sure. And there wasn't long. Robert came by. He had been at the, he said he was videotaping the meeting at the VFW.
Yep.
Anyway, I want to encourage people to drop by and see us. The lights are going to be on. They come out at 5 o'clock, go off about 11, and we're going to be out there every night trying to help, the treasury of the local Salvation Army was drained pretty heavy with the two fires, fires we've had.
Yeah.
And they need financial support, and I'm encouraging people to drop by and help the Salvation Army with a donation. Last year we had a card reader. I could take credit cards. I haven't received one yet, but I was on the radio yesterday yesterday morning at KCRN Danielson was there, and he told me he's going to get me the card reader again, but I don't have it, so I'm going to have to start bugging him because I have a few people that don't carry cash. A lot of people don't carry cash anymore.
Right.
So anyway, I support the Second Amendment, but I couldn't be at the meeting. And anyway, that's it. Just please drop by and see us. You don't have to donate, but I appreciate it if you would.
What's your address again, Dick? Tell us the
3187 Barrel Court.
3187 Barrel Court.
Yeah, we're close to the intersection of East Bonneville and South Bonneville. I have a big red barn that's very close to South Bonneville, and we have a lighted display on it. You cannot miss it when you're driving down South Bonneville.
Yep, it's beautiful. You do a great job. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you for what you do, buddy.
So anyway, I just want to get the word out and try to get the people to drop by and help support the Salvation Army and drop by and see our lights and get a free candy cane.
There you go.
Okay, sounds good, Dick. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
And don't give up your guns.
No, don't give up your guns. Nobody's going to.
KQ Masabi, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okie doke. So last night's event, it was quite a mix of people that spoke. I think that there was quite a mix in the crowd. The Second Amendment brings about some passion, I think, that maybe no other subjects do. And I really have to commend you on your insight and your discernment and understanding that that's something that brings people together. You know, the more people we can bring in together into the fold for liberty, the better it is for liberty.
Yep, absolutely. And the big thing, too, is that the event was recorded, so it's going to be put out on DVD. And it's probably going to be about a week before that's done because it has to be edited for sound and background noise and all that kind of stuff. And Robert is a perfectionist.
He's great.
Comes to that. So he will have a good video ready to go out. So if people want copies of that, come to our meeting on Monday night. We have them there available, and there'll be like $2 donation to get each one. And then you can take them home and you can burn them. You can not burn them in the fire. I mean, you can copy them. And you can share them with anybody you want. There's no copyright on that. We don't copyright any of our things like this. So come and get it. You know, share it with people. Buy a couple. Give them out to people so they can see what was going on. Or you can just find out what happened if you missed it.
And that's an important point when we do these different events. Mm-hmm. And Robert does an excellent job.
He does.
You know, when we do these different events, you can take these CDs or DVDs, whichever one we do, mm-hmm. and you can burn them all you want and give them away.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a very inexpensive way to get the word out. And that's another thing, too, Mark. You know, you've talked about how we need to unite a lot of people and get people to really do something. You talked last night about the line in the sand. Mm-hmm. And you talked last night about, you know, pretty much California has diminished all our rights. There is no rule of law. And there really isn't any saving California at this point. Can you elaborate on some of those some of those things you talked about? They were very, very good. Can you elaborate?
Well, I mean, when Patrick was speaking, mm-hmm. I caught myself thinking, and Patrick was talking about new gun laws and laws that are being proposed and laws that have already hit bottom but haven't taken effect yet. And I mean, first of all, the Second Amendment is one of the most assailed rights that's in the Bill of Rights. You know, there are not 22,000 regulations regarding the right to be secure in your houses, persons, and effects. There are not 22,000 statutes on the books about your right to free speech, although that one is under attack now, too, with free speech zones at colleges and safe spaces and trigger and the fact that the progressives think that anything they don't agree with is hate speech and should be banned and so on. But it chilled me. It really did. When Patrick was talking about the laws that are on the books and sting operations the DOJ is probably involved in to catch people bringing ammunition in from Nevada and Oregon, and that chilled me to the bone. That is the government that we formed. We, the people, formed the government, not the other way around. The government didn't form us. We formed the government with God as our judge, and God gave us certain guidelines in government, and he issued those guidelines in no uncertain terms, and I can prove that in 1,000 documents, 1,000 speeches, and 1,000 letters. And now that government is going to take the place of our creator and tell you every step you take, every breath you take, every move you make, will be permitted, feed, taxed, regulated, watched. You can be put in jail as a felon for stepping afoul of 10,000 minute little details that you never even thought were there. In fact, the state of California probably has several million felons in it that were automatically created when the assault weapon registration window closed. Because very, very few people registered their so-called assault weapons. So now California has millions of felons in it created by the government itself, people who have committed no crime, done nothing wrong. What they purchased 6 or 8 months ago is now a crime. So that legally possessed or legally purchased object is now the subject of a crime and makes you a criminal. That should scare the heck out of everybody. I don't care whether you own a gun or not, because if they can do that with guns, they can do it with anything. And believe me. And so the people of California really ought to be terribly afraid, not only for their liberty, but for their future and for their family. Because what the state of California has created is a state filled with criminals that all they have to do is decide which day they want to go get you.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do you want to explain to people, and there's the thought process out there, well, we have police, and the police will protect us. They should be armed, and the police will take care of us. Can you explain how the police really aren't liable, or really it's something that they don't have to do, and that it isn't up to them to protect us? It's up to ourselves to protect us. Can you give the folks some insight on that?
Well, first of all, it is not the job of the police. And this isn't a bad thing. This is just the truth. And it is actually a fair assessment. I don't even disagree with this. It is not the job of the police to protect the individual from crime or violence or anything else for that matter, because, and this is a reality, because at any given time, the police may not be where the crime takes place. And in fact, at any given time, the police probably won't be where the crime takes place, because you'd have to be a mind reader on an apocalyptic scale to know where a crime was going to take place before it took place. So the police under California got, first of all, there were no police forces in the United States before about 1830 or 35 or so. I forget the exact date, but there was no such thing as a police force. It was up to the citizen to defend himself against crime and violence and those things. And the magistrate would try a criminal once a bunch of people drug him into court and handed him over. But, you know, here's the thing. California Government Code, Section 821, 845, and 846 are very clear. Look them up. You can find them on the Internet. Don't take my word for it. And it says that a town is not liable to create a police force at all. Towns don't have to have police forces. And that no state employee will be liable for failure to enforce an enactment, or for failure to retain an arrested person, or for failing to act. I mean, in other words, you can't sue a state employee because he fails to protect you, and he will suffer no liability for failing to protect you, even if he knows you need protection. Because a lot of people need protection, probably more people need protection than there are police. And the police are not mind readers. And there are many Supreme Court cases, Warren versus D.C., Riss versus New York, DeShaney versus Winnebago County, Ballesteri versus Pacifica Police Department, Martinez versus California, City of Castle Rock versus the state of, Castle Rock versus Gonzales, Satano versus Massachusetts, there are many, many, many cases where people knew they were in danger, called the police. The police knew they were in danger. The police failed to protect them for one reason or another, and they were either harmed or murdered. Or there's even one case where Jeffrey Dahmer, the mass murderer, had some little 14-year-old boy naked in his apartment, and he was torturing this kid. The kid escaped. He ran down the street. Two young black women walking down the street helped him. They called the police for him. Jeffrey Dahmer was running after him, trying to get him back in the apartment to finish murdering him. The police took both of those guys temporarily into custody. Jeffrey Dahmer told a better story than the kid, so the police literally gave them a ride back to his apartment.
Oh my gosh.
Released a 14-year-old back into his custody, and he murdered him that evening. And the family of this young boy sued the state for failing to protect their son when they should have known he was in danger of his life. I mean, he was naked with blood running off him, running down the street with a murderer in hot pursuit. And that lawsuit failed because the police have no specific duty to protect the individual from crime or violence or anything else. It is your responsibility to defend yourself, your family, and your community, and to stand between your Constitution and the evil, either foreign or domestic, that would destroy your liberty. That is your responsibility and nobody else's. And how do you fulfill that responsibility if your Second Amendment is banned in the state in which you live?
That's absolutely appalling. I mean, that is just absolutely appalling. Anyway, we have a caller on the line, Round Mountain Bob. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, we're doing just fine. Sitting here in the truck waiting to get into church and listening to what's going on. You know, I may be wrong about what I'm going to say, and you guys can straighten me out, but I believe the First Amendment ought to be second, and the Second Amendment ought to be first, because you could speak all you want. It goes on deaf ears, okay? But when you have the right to carry your gun to protect yourself and others, if California, the way they're pushing it, takes that away, I don't care. You won't be able to say nothing. I don't care which way you say it. You are going to be a criminal.
You're not wrong.
So if people do not understand this now, they will never be able to protect themselves if we lose our guns.
Hey, Bob, Mark wants to weigh in on that. So
go ahead.
Let me just say this, Bob. First of all, California has already taken your Second Amendment rights away. They are gone. Your liberty to carry your gun is gone. You may apply to the government for a mother may I permission slip, and the government at its choosing may or may not give you that government permission slip, and you're going to have to jump through tons of hoops, pay lots of money, wait a long time. But you have no right to carry a gun in the state of California. It has been banned in 2012 and 2013, and the ability to carry a firearm loaded on your person was banned in 1967. You have no Second Amendment in California. That's why I want to sue the government to restore that right. And that's the only way we're going to get that right back. So if you see your way clear and you have friends that understand how important this is, help me.
One of you guys has your radio on or something. There's feedback coming through.
Okay.
Was that you, Bob? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
I had it
well,
up just a bit so I could hear Mark a little better, but all right.
Okay.
Yeah, to reply to Mark, I agree with him 100%. I was there last night. I support him in every way I can support him. And, you know, I don't know what I could do in this lawsuit or not, but if there was anything I could do or be told I could do, I would do it. Because I'm telling you, I am tired of what California's doing. At one time, it was the greatest state in this country. and now it's the stinkinest state in this country.
You're right.
Okay. Well, next time you call in, I want you to tell us what you really think. Anyway, gentlemen.
Okay. Have a good one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks,
for
Bob.
What you're doing.
Thanks, Bob. So anyway, Mark, what we're going to do here is we're going to go off to a break. And can you hold on through the break, my friend?
Yes.
Great. Okay.
All right. The time has come.
51.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Cascade Theater presents the 14th annual Cascade Christmas, a Reading holiday tradition. The North Pole just went south. This year, we're putting the ice in nice, featuring an all-new story. Evening and afternoon performances on weekends, November 23rd through December 2nd. Bring a camera for free pictures with Santa after each matinee. Tickets on sale now at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Let's go to Jimmy right away.
Good morning, Jimmy. How you doing, buddy?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, hey. Jimmy.
I got a quick thing about the new ammunition law that they're doing here in California. I don't know if you guys have talked about this on the show, but Mark was talking about how, you know, some of the gun owners have been made into felons because of these laws.
Right.
Now, when this ammo law comes into be. If you're a multi-state CCW holder, or if you're a hunter going out of state on a hunting trip, and you go out of state and you bring, say, two boxes of ammo or however much ammo you want to bring, legally, when you come back, it's apparent to me that you're going to have to forfeit that ammo or be charged as a criminal.
Or shoot it all up.
I'll just take my answer off there or my reply off there.
Mark, what say you on that?
Yeah, I believe Patrick said last night that you would be allowed to bring very small amounts, like 20 rounds with you. So if you leave with more than 20, shoot it all up but 20, because Patrick specifically addressed that. And 20 rounds, look, that's not very much ammunition. That's one box of 30-06, basically. And that's, not a lot of ammo. So, yeah, there's a problem with that. And the way Patrick put it is the state is attempting to make gun ownership and gun use and Second Amendment rights so onerous and so difficult and so troublesome and so problematic and so fraught with danger as far as you being a criminal that you didn't even know you were a criminal, that no one will want to do it. And to burden a right like that is clearly unconstitutional, and there is a window of opportunity here. And look, when I win this lawsuit, it's not going to fix everything. It's only going to change one thing, and that's your ability to carry exposed an operable and loaded weapon for defense of yourself, your family, and your community. But it is the opening shot. And look, if people want more liberty, help us. I mean, this is something I'm very passionate about. I'm going to do this. I don't care who likes it and who doesn't. I'm going to do it, but it is only a small, in other words, it's going to be a small victory, because what good is your gun if you're not allowed to have a bullet for it? So, we have a fight on our hands, everybody, and this is a fight that everyone has to share in and everyone has to stand up for, or we won't win enough of it to make any difference.
Well, we can
win this, though.
And you're right, and this is something that we had. We've already had it. It was taken away, so all you're trying to do is get it reinstated.
We've lost our liberty. Our liberty's gone. It was taken from us, and it's funny. I asked people last night, would you sell your family? Everybody said no. Would you sell your honor, your dignity, your integrity? Everybody said no. Would you sell your God-given rights? Everyone said no. And I said, okay, well, then why did we allow the state of California to come and take them from us with absolutely nothing given in return? Why did we allow that?
Well, no one had an answer for that. And, well, the thing is, too, most of us didn't know that it was happening. It wasn't advertised that this was going to be happening, as far as, taking ads out in the newspaper. Hey, you're losing your gun rights. No, none of that happens. It's done kind of sneakily and in the dark of night through backdoor, backroom deals, and that's how the California government works.
And that's why the price of liberty is eternal vigilance.
That's right.
Because if we, the people, are not paying attention to the gardeners we hire to protect the garden of liberty, then how do we know that they're not burning down the trees when we're not looking?
Right.
Well, that's a good point, and the other thing is, too, is that as far as the Republican Party goes, what do they have, 5 senators left or something like that?
Yeah.
5 or 6 senators out of the 40.
Out of the 40.
And
they, are they rhinos?
Well, Ted Gaines, as you know, is now the head of the State Board of Equalization, which is an agency now.
In charge of taxation.
In charge of taxation.
In charge of taxation.
How excited is everybody about that?
On your property tax. And on your consumer tax. Yeah. That makes me feel really good.
I know. Well,
oh, my gosh.
So there'll be a special election that Gavin Newsom will set a date for, I've heard, sometime in March, late March. And so the Republicans, in their wisdom, are running like 5 people for this seat that they probably could win. I mean, when are they going to get behind, like, one person? When are they going to be a team? The Republican Party in the state of California is lost. I mean, you can say what you want or, and look, we look at it and we say, okay, well, I'm going to vote for this guy because he believes what I believe. And I think he'll try to do something. But how do you do something when there's no one to do it with? And even your comrades you should be doing it with won't do it with you because they want somebody else. I mean, the lunacy of this has gotten to a point where we do have an oligarchy, Mark, and I'd like to expand on the oligarchy that we have in California and the lack of rule of law.
And California didn't used to be that way.
And how it didn't used to be that way.
Right.
Well, look, constitutional republic protects us from oligarchy because, excuse me, the way constitutional republic works is that you have rights that were given you by God. Those rights can never be stripped from you by the majority, the mob, as it were. And that's why we don't have pure democracy, because in pure democracy, if 51% of the people agree to murder 49% of the people, they can vote for it, and that's the way it is. So that's why we specifically, the founding fathers, prohibited democracy and in favor of constitutional republic, so that the minority will never be stripped of their rights or persecuted by any majority, no matter who that majority is and no matter who the minority is. But with the court cases of Baker and Gray versus Sanders and Reynolds versus Sims, the court itself stripped us of our constitutional republic, and they put in place in all of the states a simple majority where it is a number of people, and if 51% of those people vote to take your guns away from you, they'll take your guns away from you. And they can, because we don't have any checks or balances in California anymore. The Assembly is a rubber stamp for the Senate. The Senate's a rubber stamp for the Assembly. They're all majority vote things in districts that are so big that the person you elect couldn't care less what you think and doesn't have to care, and you can't make them care. So here's the point. We appeal to the legislature. They ignore you. You appeal to the governor's office, the executive branch. He ignores you because he doesn't care what you think either, and he doesn't have to. He cares what the money thinks, because that's how he gets elected. And then you appeal to the court, and the court says to you, well, since everybody in California exists in tyranny, and you're all equally tyrannized and equally under this oligarchy, there's nothing we're going to do about it. And so you're rejected by all three branches of government in a state where people formed the government to protect their freedom. What are you going to do about that? That's my question. Well, how are you going to help us restore those rights and restore constitutional republic?
Well, the scary part is a lot of the good people are leaving the state. They're going elsewhere to try to grasp some liberty elsewhere, depending on another state's mindset.
Yeah, that's great. You can run, but you can't hide.
Exactly.
Patrick pointed that out, too, because, you know, you run to Idaho. Great. Well, Boise's already Democrat.
Yep.
So now you have the biggest city in Idaho that's already democratically run.
Go to
it won't be long before the Democrats turn Idaho blue. So what did you run to? You drug your problems to a place that you're going to make exactly like the place you left. Stand and fight for once in your lives. Stand and fight. Because we can win if we just fight.
Yep.
And I think you're right. You know, the main thing is that you have people that do something and people that suggest something. You've got the armchair quarterback, the keyboard warrior.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the people that sit there and they can blog about this or blog about that, or they can give an opinion. And frankly, I don't care about somebody's opinion if there's no action behind it.
That's right.
You know, we had an event last night where people signed up for things. They went ahead. They're pushing action forward. They're writing letters to their sheriffs requesting a 26-150B2, which means they're requesting an open carry permit. And it's a shame they have to do that. It's a travesty they have to do that.
They're asking for permission.
And it's a travesty, my good friend, that we have to sue the state of California. We've got to sue them to uphold the Constitution of the United States and, frankly, their own Constitution. And, frankly,
well,
the Ninth Circuit.
We have to sue them to make them follow the rules that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has already stated are the rules. But that's the deal. Hey, I know we only have a few minutes left, so if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to get in a shameless plug here.
Yes, go for it.
Okay, on the 12th of January in Yreka, California, at the Miners Inn, 112 East Miner Street, is going to be a prime rib dinner fundraiser to support the lawsuit against the state of California to restore the right for the open carry of a loaded weapon. And I would like everybody to please try to come. I'll give you the phone numbers. The phone numbers are 530-227-6729 or 6728. We have a limited number of individual tickets. It's all pre-sales because we have to know how much food we're going to need. or tables are $400. And with a table, if you purchase a table, you also get $200 worth of raffle tickets with the table. So please come if you can. But if you can't come, please help us by the Reading Patriots group has very generously allowed us to take donations through the 501c3. And if Wynn would read the address on the air, if you can't come to the dinner, please help by sending a donation to Pecan. Those monies will be gathered and sent directly to the attorney to restore the right of the people of California that God gave them to defend themselves, their family, and their community. And we can win this. We can win it. The Ninth Circuit has already ruled. All we have to do is force California to follow the law as established in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And when we win this, we'll pick another goal, and we will win that too. And if we have to, we'll take our liberty back from these people one win at a time. But we can't do it unless a lot of people try to help.
Okay, I'll give the address and for people to donate. And you want to write out a check or money order to Pecan, P-E-C-A-N. Again, Pecan, P-E-C-A-N. And then the memo on the lower left-hand part of your check or in the note on money orders as well, write Second Amendment court case or just 2A court case. It needs to be identified that way so the monies go directly to that cause. And it's going to the Pecan organization, which is a 501c3, and you it's a tax deduction, so you get all that benefit, and tax deduction letter will be mailed out to you after the fact. And so if you could do that, that would be great and be very helpful for this cause. And it's a good cause for this to happen. Also, too, we had people from other counties last night at the event here who said that they want to go to this event. They're from other counties. They're coming from Tuolumne. Yeah, Tuolumne. They came from El Dorado. They came from Placer. So we have southern counties of Jefferson supporting central counties of Jefferson and even northern counties of Jefferson. So that's what happens. The brothers and sisters of Jefferson help each other out all over the territory of Jefferson. So please go to this event. It's going to be a wonderful event. Mark is right. We need to get as much as we can to pay for this court case and move forward so it'll restore our liberties here in California.
And other counties also want to have Second Amendment rallies, Mark, similar to ours.
Right.
Which is a fantastic thing. The other thing that's beautiful about Jefferson is the fact that once the guys in the counties and gals in the counties get educated on exactly what we're doing on something, they're very capable of doing small town halls and passing the word along. I think that's been the thing that's been a little bit different about the way we do things and the way that the establishment or other people do things. Other people try to hang on to power.
Mm-hmm.
What we try to do is allow leadership to flourish. In other words, yeah, go do it. I mean, I had a good talk with Dave Tishanelle. I'll make this really quick last night. And Dave,
Give the address first.
Okay. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Thank you. Make the checks out first and then send it to P.O. Box 751, Palo Cedro, P-A-L-O-C-E-D-R-O 96073. P.O. Box 751, Palo Cedro 96073. Thank you. Sorry about that, Mark.
Oh, that's okay. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we almost missed that one, buddy. But, yeah, the thing is that we have to understand that all of us are working at this thing together. I think the great thing is that folks come from other counties. They work with people in other counties. Everybody works with everybody else. And the idea of allowing leadership to flourish is a lot different than people trying to hang on to power or trying to control things. There's not a real control deal here. What it is we've got to understand we are in the civilest of wars. And we are in a position where you're in the foxhole with these brothers and sisters that we have all through Jefferson. So, Mark, we have 1 minute. Any last thing you want to say, my friend?
Yeah, the only thing I want to add to that is that we can win this. It's a relatively easy path to Second Amendment right, at least the beginnings of it, the opportunity to defend yourself and your family. And please take this opportunity to help, baby steps, but let's get this done. And once we learn how to win these things, let's keep winning them. We are the people. We have all the power. We've always had the power. All we have to do is start using it. So please help please defend your liberty, defend your ability to defend your family, your community, and your Constitution from the thugs and crooks and liars in Sacramento, and let it begin today.
All right. There you go.
Thank you, Kemosabe.
Thank you, Mark.
God bless you, buddy. And give Cindy a hug for all of us.